Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today's show was recorded at the Fall Conference for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, where we interviewed several of the county veteran service officers, and you'll listen to that in a moment. But before we begin, I thought we should take a moment to talk about the current news of the government shutdown. Many of my friends who willingly have risked their lives for our country are now at home with their families without pay, because Congress can't get their act together. I'd like to ask, what kind of message does this send to our children and our citizens? Please call your elected officials and tell them to start working together, because at the end of the day, we're all Americans, and we need to help each other instead of having to watch the constant fighting and bickering we see from Washington, D.C. each and every day. Our troops and their families deserve better. Now, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash.
1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lives. That is a staggering number that affects women across all ethnicities, backgrounds, income levels, and ages. It can even affect men. Soldiers and airmen in the Minnesota National Guard are not immune to breast cancer. In fact, our force lost a full-time employee to breast cancer just 2 years ago. Sergeant Brenda Geisey was an Iraq veteran who served with skill and grace, but didn't win her fight with cancer. Her death has inspired us to increase awareness of breast cancer in our ranks, and I'd like to share our project with you. Like tanks, women are strong, but not invincible. The Pink Tank Project is an awareness campaign that focuses on stories of Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen who are surviving and being treated for breast cancer today. Through their stories, we share how women can arm themselves against this cancer with early detection. I encourage you to go to MinnesotaNationalGuard.org and visit our Pink Tank Project special feature. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I'm proud that we are doing our part to keep women strong.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Dwayne Brownie, the current and almost outgoing president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers from Brainerd. Dwayne, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom.
You're having your annual fall conference up here for the county veteran service officers from all over the state. What happens at this conference?
Well, this conference is designed to provide adequate training for each CVSO across the state of Minnesota and all 87 counties. We follow a National Association of County Veteran Training standard. And in a turn, the CVSOs learn many things in reference to how to file claims properly, how to work with the VA medical centers and eliminate problems within veterans' care, anywhere from home loans, education, you name it, we do it.
Dwayne, you're currently the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, but you're also a veteran, aren't you?
That is correct. I served actually active duty in 1990 to 94 in the U.S. Navy and experienced to travel half the world. I am a shellback, so I got to experience the hazing of the U.S. Navy and its tradition.
And then you also served in the Minnesota National Guard.
That is correct. I got out of the Navy, started going to school, and in turn thought I had to do some more. And so from that standpoint, I joined the Fighter Wing 148th out of Duluth, Minnesota.
And Dwayne, how did you become a county veteran service officer?
Well, that's a good question. As I was studying and majoring in law enforcement, in turn, I started as a work study student working for my predecessor, John Brown, who retired from the VA regional office. And in turn, he basically took me under his wing and guided me through the process. And I've been doing this ever since. Who would know 15 years can go by that fast?
Stay tuned. The rest of them will go quick, too. Dwayne, the commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, tells us there's over 370,000 veterans in Minnesota. Most of them need to go out and meet their county veteran service officer, don't they?
That is correct. We're pretty much the one-stop shop. If a veteran is getting released from active duty or the National Guard, we recommend that they work with their local county veteran service officer. You know, our job is to make sure that veterans get and receive whatever they're entitled to. You know, these are benefits that are earned. You know, when you put on that uniform, you're on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And in turn, our government is aware of that. That's why they've created these programs under federal law. And Congress, of course, likes to change them every election. But in turn, our goal is to keep them to the fire to make sure that they keep the laws in place that help and benefit veterans within our local communities.
Dwayne, do you find that some of the older veterans, or maybe the younger ones too, kind of think that VA benefits and helping veterans are for those folks that are wounded and not for the rest of us? As a Vietnam veteran, I never even approached a veteran county veteran service officer until 4 or 5 years ago. But today, we're recommending that they get their DD-214 and go register with the county veteran service officer and get to know them and find out if you served in a war zone, if there's something wrong with you, if you're having some problems, as you say, you've earned it. Go talk to your county veteran service officer.
That's correct. The Vietnam generation, obviously, is a unique generation. Same with Korea and World War II. You know, over my history and dealing with these individuals, the last thing they want to do in turn is meet with a CVSO. A lot of them are anti-government from the past and don't trust the government. And so in turn, you know, having a CVSO on their side as an advocate makes a huge difference. Sometimes I feel like I have to sell the benefit to the veteran. And I think that's in turn what is unique about this job, is because not only are you trying to sell the benefit, but you're also trying to obtain what that veteran's entitled to. And in turn, a lot of veterans feel that, especially the Vietnam era veterans, a lot of them feel guilty for the men and women that didn't have the opportunity to come back home from the Vietnam War. But in turn, like I always tell my veterans and clients that, look, you know, to be the statistic, to utilize the VA, to utilize the VA healthcare services, in turn shows Congress that, look, we did have past wars, we do have needs, and in turn, therefore, provide adequate funding. You know, take care of our veterans that took care of us. We wouldn't be where we're at today.
We're speaking with Dwayne Brownie, the current and almost outgoing president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. Dwayne, I understand that the county veteran service officer is the first place for our service members or veterans to go. You've got a whole range of services available, don't you? Can you go over those for us?
Well, the first thing that we function on is, in turn, when a veteran comes into our office, we pretty much triage everything. You know, a veteran will come into our office and we'll look at potentially if they're eligible to file a compensation claim with the VA regional office. There is a non-service connected pension program that is designed for veterans who served during a period of war, or in turn, not specifically in war, but just had to be on active duty during a period of war. There's school benefits, education, Montgomery GI Bill, and of course, Minnesota GI Bill with some of the state programs that exist. Life insurance, medical benefits, which is the big factor. A lot of our baby boom generation veterans right now are getting ready to retire, and so we're seeing an influx of that generation come in and looking for health care. Home loans, basically the housing market crashed, and so right now the VA has got a tremendous program for veterans who in turn are looking to establish a resident within their local communities. And we feel that the home loan program is the best way to go for a veteran. It allows for no money down, and in turn, the veteran can, you know, as long as they meet certain criteria with the local lending institutions, they in turn can qualify and have a roof over their head. There's Minnesota State Veterans Benefits. That in turn is money that is earmarked for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, so it's not tied with the federal government whatsoever. And those are programs to kind of pick up in places where the federal government does not have benefits available for those veterans. An example would be optical and dental care for those individuals who in turn need that type of medical treatment. It allows those veterans to qualify for those particular benefits as well. And then, of course, there's burial benefits. That's the last thing we like to talk about. It's kind of a first-come, first-served basis for our veterans. But in turn, it is a wonderful opportunity to provide the headstone for a veteran, the American flag that draped the casket for the veteran, as well as potentially some other benefits available through the federal government, if in turn they're drawing any benefit from the VA.
Dwayne, you've gone through a long list there, and I'm sure you've got an even longer list, but I want to talk to you a little bit. You're coming down to the end of your year as the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Did you have some things you wanted to achieve during your year in office, and how'd you do?
Well, we did actually very well this year, better than we anticipated. In reference to our CVSO grant, the state actually came to the table and is allowing MDVA to manage the funds for us and CVSOs. They're going to provide $7,500 minimum to each county in Minnesota. Back in the day, there was a lot of funding cuts to our local counties through local government aid. This money will help us to do a better job at outreaching and making sure that we're up to date in the technological arena. Most of our claims now are becoming electronically filed. So in turn, this grant money that we got from the legislatures will be huge. The other issue is the fact that one thing I didn't get accomplished that I would have liked to have gotten accomplished was the fact that when a veteran qualifies for property tax benefits through the VA, or actually Minnesota Department of Revenue, the widow, if the veteran passes away, the widow is not eligible for that property tax relief or exclusion, with the exception of 5 years. It would have been nice to get that passed on a permanent basis. Because after a veteran who in turn is 100% disabled and living with their spouse, the spouse in turn, you know, has went through a lot to take care of that veteran. And in turn, knowing that they have to all of a sudden pay property tax can sometimes put our limited income widows in financial hardship. And I think that's something that I would really like to keep pushing forward. Being that I'm the outgoing past president soon, doesn't mean I'm not going to be working behind the scenes to keep pushing forward for veterans benefits.
Dwayne, we just got about a minute left. I see that you do a lot of training with the county veteran service officers, and I'm sure you've had a busy, busy year in office. Any final thoughts for our listeners about your association and your term in office?
The main thing that we want is we want every veteran to meet with their county veteran service officer, find out what they're eligible for, and make sure that they get enrolled into the healthcare system for their protection, as well as letting Congress know that we have veterans out here that have needs.
Thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio, Dwayne.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tom.
That was Dwayne Brownie, the current and outgoing president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We're going to talk to several more county veteran service officers. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. When we are up at the Fall Training Conference for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We've just talked to the president, and now we're going to talk to one of the county veteran service officers from Jackson County, Jeff Johnson. Jeff, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Jeff, you were in the military, and you're about my age group, so Vietnam.
Vietnam vet, welcome home to you. Yeah, spent 6 years in the Army, very proud of that, in the Medical Corps, and did my training down at Fort Sam Houston, where we all did, but I was fortunate. That time they started advanced lab school, got my degree from Baylor University, paid $15 for my pigskin, and the rest is just move on to the future, and a lot of things there.
Well, Jeff, I understand that your career led you into a healthcare arena. What was that about, and how did you get to be a County Veteran Service Officer?
Well, ultimately, the career goal was I started pre-vet medicine. My cousin got killed in Vietnam, young, got upset with the English professor and decided, okay, that's it. I'll go in the Army. So I went in the Army, got guaranteed my position in the medical tech field, which worked out very well. But the ultimate goal was to someday be an administrator of a hospital, nursing home, whatever the case may be. Military gave me the opportunity to really show the leadership capabilities or have the opportunity to learn to be a leader. And, you know, did the schooling, went off to Vietnam, going to get even for my cousin's death. Like I said, young and foolish, but very proud of it. Spent time over there with a couple of organizations that were involved with Operation Golden Flow, which was a whole drug detection program. And young and foolish, so, you know, volunteer to drive because I'm not here for that. So, you know, you bring back, I call it baggage when I work with my vets. We all have some baggage, whether it's our war, the new war, with our return in Iraqi and Afghanistan vets, but that's the brotherhood. You work through it. So when I did get out of the military down at, I was at Fort McClellan, Anniston, Alabama. I worked part-time there for a big group practice. Wonderful opportunity, 26 years old, chief tech of their lab that was bigger than the regional hospital across the street. Next thing, you're the purchasing agent. Next thing, the administrator's mentoring you and working with all these specialists. They had 17 different specialties in that clinic. I came back home. Opportunities were there to be a chief tech of a lab again, as well as the director of purchasing. Was fortunate, mentored with an administrator there that was like a grandma figure, and she must have saw something that this kid's got possibilities. So then you became special projects coordinator, yada, yada, small town, a lot of controversy, people in the high school, and it was a mess. And they come and ask you, will you be the administrator? And yeah, sure, yeah, we'll do that temporary. But there was no doctors. So it was an interesting. We maintained and kept the hospital going. We did a big fundraiser, put a clinic together, recruited in two physicians, a PA. But corporate medicine wasn't necessarily this old school kid's way of continuing life. And to me, it was, we're here. We took on the medical field to help people. And just because you didn't have the means to pay doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to receive the care. And nowadays, it's corporate medicine, and you know, we still try and do everything they can. So CVSO position came available, and that was it. All the healthcare background, I could really maybe do the system, administrative background, fight the system if need be. I'm also emergency manager in our county, small county, so I got a dual role. So to be able to use all those years of training in the military and the on-the-job training that a person does was an excellent opportunity to put all those resources together to help my fellow veterans.
We're speaking with Jeff Johnson, the Jackson County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Jeff, sounds like all of that training and background was helpful in your becoming a county veteran service officer. And I understand you joined one or two veteran service organizations along the way.
You know, I think that the really neat thing is once you allow yourself the opportunity to believe in what we're all trying to do and the benefits that veterans have, all those organizations do an incredible, powerful thing to ensure our legislators, our public, maintain the promise that they made, you know, to care for those that served our country. And for me, then, that becomes the passion. Let's ensure what you promised is done. Let's ensure that regardless if you go to my office or someone else's office, you're going to get the opportunity to learn about your benefits, and then we can do our intake. I call it an intake, old healthcare background. It's an intake, and we'll ask those questions. And now pretty soon you wanted this, but we're going to look at these three things too. Yeah, I never thought of that. So the 26 years I had in healthcare, the first year and a half I had as a VSO was more gratifying. Just to see the looks on the face, what you could do for families. I look at the whole, you know, one of my favorite things is when I was president of this association, it's for the good of the order. It's not for the good of Jeff. It's not for the good of this. What's best for the good of the order? And when you look at veteran benefits, you're not just looking at that veteran. He wants to ensure, or she wants to assure, especially nowadays, that their family's being cared for, that they're maintaining their responsibility to their family, and we can mushroom that out and get that accomplished. So it's extremely gratifying.
Jeff, I know you're here at the Fall Training Conference for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and I'm sure that you know county veteran service officers from all over the state. How would you say it's different out in Jackson County as opposed to like Hennepin County where there's so many people?
You know, I think I'm fortunate being in a smaller county. Of course, fewer veterans down our way, but I think one of the things that I can do is spend more time. Or, you know, print everybody in a small community. So it's we use something, and God bless the legislators and the commissioners for getting these grants for us to do more marketing. It's been extremely beneficial because a small county, I don't have the funds to do that. I started something, I give a hat out. You come to my office, spend 5 minutes with me, you get a hat. Small community, small county. Well, you never gave me one of them. I saw him at the Legion. I saw him at the VFW. But did you go to his office? So they become my marketing tool. Well, you just call Jeff, make an appointment, talk to him for 5 minutes, you get a hat. Something that simple. And in those 5 minutes, there's been opportunities. The non-vets, shake them, shake them. There's so many things out there. And don't they read their Legionnaire, or don't they read the VFW magazines, or listen to our ads with all the different presumptives that's available? And you can have a guy out there that's had diabetes type 2 for the last 2 years. He never came in. So you finally get a hold of him. Yeah, a small community, I probably have more opportunity with the healthcare providers in the area to go to their med staff meetings, especially with the background. You go to the med staff, give them a sheet of the presumptives for each one of the different wards. Pretty soon you're getting referrals from your local practitioners that are also sending the medical records when the guy comes or the gal comes. So, yeah, it's great.
Jeff, are you finding there's a lot of veterans out there that have the attitude that there's other people hurt worse than me. I'm not going to go bother with that. And do you have to kind of drag them in?
You know, and again, the Vietnam vet. I've done this, you know, whatever, for be 17 years in December, non vet myself. And until I actually got in the field, I was one of those. You know, I'm doing okay. I can make a good living. I got good health care. There's people that deserve or need that more than I do. But one of the things that I try and do down there that's really worked well, we got AGCO down there. We're fortunate. Big, large manufacturer of agriculture equipment. And a lot of them work there. And I may go, okay, here's the deal. You got hurt at work. Are you going to walk into the HR office and go, oh, you people are so nice, I don't need anything? Well, no. I'm going to get, you know, work comp. I said, okay, you served your country. You served it well, and some of these things happen during your service. That's a benefit that you earned. That's like work comp. Oh, I never thought of it that way. So then all of a sudden, the turnaround, and as we get older, all of a sudden you start, oh boy, you know, I do have these other needs to be looking at. So it you just find the angle. And the neat thing with vets, you can just be you. And that vet can just be them. You shut the door. If they're some of the Navy vets, their language is maybe it's not something your secretary wants to listen to, and you move on, you know.
Jeff, keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, I greatly appreciate it, and you keep up the good work. We appreciate your work you guys are doing. Thank you.
That was Jeff Johnson, the Jackson County Veterans Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to Neil Doyle, the Olmsted County Veteran Service Officer and incoming president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has been selected for the 2013 Board of Governors Emmy Award. This award was submitted in partnership with the Minnesota National Guard and Twin Cities Public Television for a body of work that spans more than 6 years. For MDVA, this includes the documentary programs Home and Hope and Home for Heroes. MDVA, along with the Minnesota National Guard and TPT, have been recognized for the Governor's Award for Community and Broadcast Partnership. The National Academy of Television Arts and Science Upper Midwest Chapter Board of Governors Award is a prestigious award. This award honors visionary, long-standing relationships that creatively and effectively use broadcast resources to showcase the power of broadcasting to advance a mission or message. TPT is committed to educating Minnesotans about the sacrifices fellow neighbors, co-workers, friends, and family have made when the nation called for their support. Through our long-standing relationship with TPT, our community of viewers are able to better connect with and understand the plight of our state veterans. The joint effort was a huge accomplishment, and I want to congratulate everyone who was involved.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Neil Doyle, the Olmsted County Veterans Service Officer and the incoming president of the Minnesota Association of County Veterans Service Officers. Neil, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good to be here, Tom.
Neil, I understand that you're a veteran of the Minnesota Army National Guard.
Yes, I've been a member of the Minnesota Army National Guard since 1999, and I'm still active.
Neil, how did you get to be a County Veteran Service Officer?
Well, my first career was law enforcement. I was a civilian police officer for almost 4 years, but job placement was difficult when I joined that career, so I joined the Minnesota National Guard simultaneously. But after serving for 4 years, I was deployed to Yugoslavia, where I did a tour. Took about 10 months leave of absence from my civilian police department, where I took a job at the VA regional office in the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Claims Office. I was then deployed for a second time to Iraq for a two-year deployment. Upon returning from there, I was asked and selected for the junior veteran service officer position in Rochester, and since have been promoted to the supervisor.
So, Neil, I understand in connection with your service that you have a service-connected disability from serving with the Minnesota National Guard. Does that give you some unique insights into the veterans that you're working with in Olmsted County?
Where that helps is, as a soldier, you're able to go through the same processes that you're sending people through when they file for benefits. Not only do most of us that have deployed multiple times have service-related disabilities, because it kind of goes with the turf, I am also going through the medical evaluation board process through the Minnesota Army National Guard, so I kind of have insight both with the VA realm of disability and Department of Defense.
So I'm assuming that that firsthand experience is tough, but it's going to help you connect with your clients down in Olmsted County. Have you got some interesting cases with the veterans in Olmsted County? Are they coming to the office on a regular basis?
We serve probably about 3,000 veterans a year for walk-ins. On a weekly basis, we probably file 20 disability claims and financial assistance benefits. I've had some very unique cases where I've actually assisted two amputees from the War on Terror get service-connected. And their claims can be very difficult because there's several issues that you can overlook if you aren't very thorough. So some of those claims, you need to plan out about 6 months before they retire, if possible, so you make sure all the issues are addressed.
Neil, we had a few months ago, we had Dr. Tommy Sowers on, who's the assistant secretary from the VA, and he told us that they have two goals this year. One is to cut out the backlog for claims, and the other one was to eliminate veteran homelessness. But one of the things that he thought was different in Minnesota was that the county veteran service officers are better trained, and they're preparing the claims sufficiently so that we get them processed quicker than some other states. Have you seen evidence of that?
Absolutely. Our VA regional office folks are very transparent. If we have an issue, we have the ability to walk in and talk to a federal VA employee, whereas I'm also a member of National Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And when I go to those training conferences, they don't have the same stories to share. They have a locked VA regional office. They're not transparent. During special cases like amputees or traumatically wounded veterans, we know the folks that we can network with to make sure those claims are fast-tracked so they're taken care of sooner.
So we are at the fall training conference for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. I'm assuming that one of the big benefits of the association is training, making sure they understand how to get things done and how to get it done quickly.
Absolutely. And I think in the incoming year, we're going to have an excellent education staff. I've been approached by three members that are very interested in education. And it's our fullest intent to network as much as possible with the VA regional office, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and our VA medical centers that are in Vision 23 up here.
We're speaking with Neil Doyle, the Olmsted County Veterans Services Supervisor and incoming president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. Neil, coming into this year, have you got some priorities? What type of, have you set some goals or some things that you want to achieve?
A couple things really came to my mind in the last few weeks when I was preparing for the conference, but a big program that we used to have that kind of fell by the wayside accidentally was we had a CVSO mentorship program where just one individual from our association contacted all the incoming new CVSOs to network them in, to explain our agenda to them, to explain our association to them, and to tell them kind of what to expect for training, both on the national level, the local level. And that kind of fell by the wayside because somebody left our association unexpectedly. I want to bring that back because I see the value in it. Secondly, historically, we've done a ton of networking with the VA regional office, and I don't see a ton of areas that need to get improved with that. Yes, we need to be in constant communication with them because of the VA backlog, things like that, the broker claims that Minneapolis is getting. But in the future, I'd really like to network more with the VA medical centers, because in the in hospital administration, there is a ton that you need to learn about to make sure veterans are able to navigate those systems more efficiently on their own, because you can't, as a CVSO, escort every veteran to all their medical appointments and through their compensation and pension exams.
Jeff, I'm curious. We asked Jeff Johnson down in Jackson County about the differences between outstate and, let's say, Hennepin County or Ramsey County. What are you seeing in Olmsted County as opposed to what some of the other county veteran service officers are seeing closer to the cities?
We're still very fortunate. We have a community-based outreach clinic in Rochester, and they do primary care. They do medication management, immunizations, vaccines. They have a lot of mental health services in there, video teleconferencing, psychiatry, several services that they offer. And if they're not able to take care of the patient in Rochester, we have a veteran transportation program. I have 3 paid van drivers, 2 vans that run veterans to and from Minneapolis VA appointments every day of the week. As long as there's a single appointment, we run up there.
Neil, we're just about out of time, but what I'm hearing over and over and over again is find your discharge papers, call and make an appointment, come on in and visit. Even if you don't think you need anything, let's get to know you.
Absolutely. And one thing we do for the recently returning veterans is we do receive a copy of their discharge paperwork from the state. Every month we get a packet in, and when we get those, we send new veteran letters out to the address that's on the DD-214 to make sure that they come in. So it's kind of an invite when they first come to the county to come in, so they're aware of us, they know where we're located, and we hope that they come in.
Neil, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio, and good luck for the coming year as president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers.
Thank you very much.
That was Neil Doyle, the Olmsted County Veteran Services Supervisor and incoming president of Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now from the Fall Training Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers is the Scott County Veteran Service Officer, Todd Kubiski. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom. It's good to be back.
Todd, you've been sitting through these first 3 segments, and you've listened to 3 different county veteran service officers tell their tale. Now we've got to find out the real story. How are things going for the Association of the County Veteran Service Officers, and what are they learning at this fall conference?
Well, I think the one thing we could take away is that our association is doing very well. We've had good success legislatively. We've had great success with our claims work. And this conference here, we're getting some real quality training, not only dealing with how to prepare claims and working with secondary issues, but also some of the legal aspects when it comes to appeals. We got a great speaker coming in, Ron Abrams from Washington, D.C., who's a lawyer, and he's going to give us some insight on how that works.
Todd, I can't imagine county veteran service officer. You get veterans walking in off the street every day. Some come in for appointments. You don't know exactly what they want. They might need gas money just to get to payday, or they might have a traumatic brain injury. They might have post-traumatic stress. You have to have a lot of training and a lot of resources and a lot of knowledge to be able to know where to go, how to help these veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. We strive to maintain a certain base level of training for all of our CVSOs in the state. That's why we adopted the national standard for training. The one thing that we do, though, is that we strive for that training here. We're always looking for the newest, the best, and the brightest. So what we do is we have a great interaction not only with the VA regional office, but also with the medical center and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Building those relationships helps us do our job better.
So, Todd, let's talk about the Minneapolis VA Center. I'm a client out there. I go out there. It's a first-class facility. They do a great job. How have you found the feedback from your clients in Scott County?
We got wonderful feedback from our clients. I'm also a patient out there, primary. My wife is a primary patient out there. So we enjoy the care we get there. It's first class. They're there to help the veterans and serve veterans. And it's a busy place. Sometimes it takes a little longer to get into some of the clinics, but that's just because of the volume that they do. But they do a wonderful job at doing that.
Todd, over and over again, when I talk to your fellow county veteran service officers, I hear about outreach, and I hear about the fact that there's some reluctant veterans out there. They're going about their life, and they're getting by, and they don't want to come see you or haven't thought about coming to see you. How big a problem is it to reach out to the veterans and make sure that they get what they've earned?
Well, I think the problem is not as big as it used to be. We have more avenues now available to us to get the word out. Today's veteran is technically savvy, so things like Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter are real good avenues for us to reach out to those younger veterans and get them into our office. Also, because of the current wars that we have, benefits for veterans are in the forefront in the news. And even the Vietnam vets, the Korean vets, and some of your World War II vets are saying, I wonder if there's anything for me, because they're now advertised. They're actually out there in the front of the consciousness of America.
Todd, I noticed we were honored to be at the dinner last night, and I noticed that not only were there county veteran service officers, but you had veteran service organizations, the department commanders from the VFW, the Legion, the disabled veterans. You had all kinds of organizations here with you at this fall conference. That's got to help you to understand all those resources and to pull all those folks together.
It absolutely does. I like to call it the holistic approach to veterans benefits. We use every available resource we can to reach out to our veteran community and make sure that they get taken care of. They get the benefits that they're entitled to. If they need something that the VA or the state of Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs can't provide, they don't have a program for, then a county veteran service officer will look either to their own agencies within their county. They'll look at nonprofit organizations, community-based organizations. Whatever we can do to make that veteran whole again, that's what we look at.
We're speaking with Todd Kaminsky, the Scott County Veteran Service Officer from the Fall Training Conference for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. Todd, as a past president of this organization, it sounds like you still have a little bit of influence on some of these folks.
Well, yes, kind of. As past presidents, as we've served, we learn best practices as we go through the year. We know what works, what doesn't work. And then when we identify someone that we think would be, that one is interested in, two, would do a good job at representing our association on the executive board and maybe later on vice president, president, we have the ability to mentor them a little bit, have them learn from our mistakes. And boy, we do make them once in a while. But we learn from that. We move forward. And I think our association gets stronger and stronger every year because of that.
And Todd, can you tell us, I know there's some innovative programs that the County Veteran Service Officers have initiated. Can you enlighten us on that a bit?
Absolutely. I'll talk about one program that I use in my county. We actually originated it in Hennepin County when Reggie Worlds, the deputy commissioner, and I were assistants in Hennepin County. What we do is we have mental health professionals provide psychosocial evaluations for our combat veterans or anybody that may be suffering from a mental health condition due to the service who had been denied service connection through the VA system due to a lack of diagnosis. It's basically a second opinion. And what we've been able to do with some of the state grant funds that the legislature has been so kind to make sure that we get is we pay for those evaluations. That way we can go back for a reconsideration and get those mental health claims through. In Hennepin County, we are running at about 85% success rate and overturning those denials. And in Scott County, I'm running at right about 82%. Success rate. And I actually use my own mental health people in Scott County to provide these evaluations.
So Todd, once again, I'm hearing that the more complete the file can be and the better document the claim can be when it first goes in, the better chance you're going to have of getting it approved and quicker.
Absolutely. I think that's something that the Minnesota Veteran Service Officers do better than, well, I'll say it, do better than anybody else in the country.
Todd, we've got a couple of minutes left. Can you tell me, what is the e-benefits program?
The e-benefits program is the precursor to going to a completely digital claim filing system with the VA. E-benefits will give you a portal into filing claims, checking on your medical benefits, tracking your claim through the system. Now, just like a veteran who will go straight to the VA or do a claim on VonApps, which was the genesis of e-benefits, they're actually acting as their own. It's kind of like being an attorney and representing yourself. You don't know the ins and outs. That's why we exist. We know the red tape. We know the nuances with the Code of Federal Regulations. We're able to put together the package in a way that the VA can grant. And an average person with the paperwork that has to be involved with it and the process doesn't always get all that stuff done. Then they get frustrated. Their claim gets denied. Then we end up picking it up.
Todd, we've been fortunate to join you for last night and today at the fall conference, or the fall training conference, for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We've met a lot of CVSOs. They're veterans. They're very caring people. They're well-trained people. And overall, what's their message? What's your message at the end of this show today to all the veterans out there listening?
If you're a veteran, go see your county veteran service officer. We're going to take good care of you. If you have your DD-214, your original, you have the one true original. That gets lost, you never know if we'll be able to retain a copy. Bring it in, we'll get it recorded, we'll sit down, we'll go over whatever benefits you have. And in most cases, you don't even realize that you have a benefit coming till we sit down and we kind of interview, or like Jeff likes to say, we intake you.
Todd, keep up the good work. Thanks for inviting us up to the fall conference, and thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure.
That was Todd Kubinski, the Scott County Veteran Service Officer from the Fall Training Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our County Veteran Service Officers for joining us this week. Dwayne Brownie, Jeff Johnson, Neil Doyle, and Todd Kubinski, Commissioner Larry Shelato, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Defense Alliance and learn about USA Cares. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.